I know this kind of sounds like old news and so forth, but I think I have grown the most in the last 2 weeks of any time in my life. And the things of God are an unfolding revelation, and we will never hit the end of it. For if this will go on forever and ever and ever, because God is unknowable. You know, His ways are past finding out. So even in the next life, you keep learning and learning and learning, because there's never an end to it. We went to a wedding yesterday, and I would say it was probably one of the most spiritual-minded weddings that I've ever been in, and it was very, very good. And after we were at the reception, and I told Joanne, I said, you know, this was a good day. We've seen a lot of good spiritual things in this church over the years. But I said, you know, as a result of the last couple of weeks, this still isn't it. It's good, but this isn't it. And having said that, if you got seat belts, fasten them. And I don't mean for what's coming, I mean for what you're about to hear. In the sixth chapter of Matthew, is a strange section, but it's divided up into sections, kind of. And in the one area here, it's talking about, it says, don't take any thought what you're going to eat or what you should wear or whatever. It says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not better than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, and what he's talking about, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? That's kind of fixed. Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they don't toil, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more he clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or how shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Okay? Then the verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There is a there is something that is about to happen, and we have started into it, and I didn't recognize it at first. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me read in the end of Mark, the 16th chapter, the verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These are the signs. If you want to find a believer, here's what you look for. These signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, in my name shall they cast out devils. That's the first thing listed. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly, I mean not on purpose, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The word is recover. Well, anyway, now that was in end of Mark. Now we turn to the 11th chapter of Luke. And anyway, and this is one of my favorite chapters. If there's a favorite chapter, this is, because this is one that really sets you free. It set me free. Where it says, how much more, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? And so, but anyway, this whole chapter is strange and wonderful. And I begin to see something here. In the 20th verse, and you got to look at it. You got to think of what it says here. Now let's go back a little bit. He was casting out devils. And here's what they said. They said, he cast these things out by the devil, Beelzebub. And so, anyway, he didn't say anything at first. And then he said, a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. It wouldn't make sense that the devil would cast out his own demons. And so, anyway, he said, and if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils, then whom do your sons cast them out? See, he was casting spirits out, but this was not new to the Jews. It wasn't new. They already had deliverance and, But here's the thing, and I finally saw it. He said, in verse 20, I'm going to read this a couple times. Verse 20, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come to you. Why? If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. If I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come to you. What are we talking about? We're talking about two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of righteousness. If I'm casting out devils, it is obvious the kingdom of God is here. It's the only sign we have anywhere of the kingdom coming. When the kingdom of God, the power of God, begins to cast out the power of darkness, it is the obvious evidence the kingdom of God is upon us. And that's what it says. Are you following what I'm saying? Just having good services and even raising our hands and pretending to be something maybe we aren't, that is not the evidence of God's kingdom. The evidence is when the deliverances begin to take place. And we have seen some marvelous things happen. I've seen deliverance since 1982. But I have never seen what we are now beginning to see. I'm seeing something, and I'm recognizing it. By the Spirit of the Lord, I'm beginning to recognize it. Jesus says, in this same chapter, it's in Luke 11, but in the same chapter, he says in verse 24, when the unclean spirit, I'm not going to forget what I just read. We'll be back to it. But in verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and find... I don't know, why does the spirit have to rest? And finding none, he said, I will return unto my house where I came out from. They're spirits of darkness. And I don't know, I mean, this is my speculation, but I believe he fell in the garden and the devil overpowered him. I think that at that point, that demonic forces begin to inhabit people. Because Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel, and Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning. So we know what he's talking about. There's nothing before that, you know, that word is recorded. So the devil inhabited, or a demon inhabited Cain and caused him to kill Abel. Overpowered him, or whatever happened. So a demon moves into somebody. I mean, I've had deliverance. I've had spirits that were upon me. I mean, in me. And, but in this case, it said when he goes out of a person, or goes out of this, you know, is cast out, he wanders around through dry places, seeking rest. Finding none, he said, I will return to my house. They claim us. So if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of heaven or God is upon us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are starting to see something. I am starting to experience something. I'm starting to feel something. I have had a strange life anyway. And it's you know, we're at this wedding yesterday. And I thought, the whole foundation or the background of this thing, even though most of the people there didn't know it, but a lot of these people were because Joanne and I had witnessed to this one and that one way back when, and now the rest of their families have come in. You know what I mean? And most of them don't know that. And it doesn't matter. But we have been busy. We've been a part of a lot of things. And God has had mercy. And God has been doing something recently in me and in this church, in other people. But I've had these dreams, I've seen these strange things, I've known God's going to do something. And then, we started to see some of these things, like with the rings, you know, and we saw, I can't think of her name.
Allison.
And we saw Allison go through deliverance. And then a few weeks ago, we saw Caden go through deliverance. And anyway, I started to understand something. Unclean spirit goes out of a man. He wanders through dry places seeking rest. He doesn't find any, so he says, I will return to my house from where I came. How do you get him out? How do you get him out? It's too simple so that we miss it. The person that we are praying for deliverance has got to tell him to leave. Did you guys see what happened when we were praying for Caden that day? 6 years old. He was in a full-blown type of a thing where he didn't even know where he was. He does not remember anything that happened that day. Do you know that? He doesn't remember anything because when we started to pray for him, the spirit overpowered Caden until we lost him. He didn't even know where he was at. And Pablo, like a true warrior, put his armor on him and hung on to him, no matter what he was doing. Now you know, Corky and Susan and some of you, we've seen those deliverances over the years. And I was a little hesitant because I thought, I don't remember ever praying for a six-year-old that was manifesting and doing the things he was doing. And I don't know what made Pablo hang on to him, but he did, which is, and we there's about 2 hours of deliverance. All of a sudden, Caden showed up. After all of these things going on, and him being just wild and all the things he was doing, it settled that he showed up. And he said something that woke me up. And he said, "Spirit, I want you to leave me." Remember that? "I want you to leave." And it didn't register until, and I'm sure Pablo is going to say something about this, but it didn't register until the other day with Pablo. And we're praying for him and something happened. And he got to a place, I heard him say this. He said, "I want you to leave me. I want you to, your spirit, leave me." And it woke me up. And since that time, I have had some strange experiences, strange feelings. I realized, you know what we got to do? When you pray for people, the person that we're praying for has got to tell that thing to leave. He said, when he goes, he said, "I will return to my house." He thinks he lives there. He thinks he owns that person. But the demons don't own us. They're unwelcome guests. And so, when we pray for people for deliverance, and you will, I prayed for a lot of people for deliverance. I didn't pick that thing up. I never picked it up. The person has to say, "I don't want you in my house." Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, Charlie, you guys have been familiar with enough of this. You know what I'm talking about. And it's just a little bit of a thing that really is going to help the deliverance. See, one of the problems that we ran into is the Bible college and the idea that, you know, Jesus, all it says is Jesus just cast them out, and that's it. You know, but it says in a couple places, it says after he cast the thing out, it threw him down in the fire and it did all kinds of things. You know, it took a while to come out. And another one, it says that he prayed for a spirit and it came out that very same hour. Well, they didn't have watches. So it was a period of time. It could have been 60 minutes. It could have been 4 hours. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, we have to... I started to say something. I forgot what I was going to say, but nobody can remember it because I'm the only one that thought it. But but anyway, it's exciting, and I realize Christianity is evidenced by deliverance. And that's why God's going to, you know what? We're going to start seeing a lot more deliverance in this church. Yeah. And I don't know where we were or someplace the other day, and I said, you know what? If deliverance broke out right here, this place would be if somebody started calling out spirits, this place would go into be a disaster. When we saw deliverance break out in the Bible college in Seattle, there were 50 deliverances just in an instant. And the place was, everybody was scared out of their wits. I can imagine why, you know. I didn't expect it to happen, but it was okay. I got up in the front and tried to calm everybody down and tell them just don't panic and just gather around somebody and pray for them. And anyway, that kind of calmed them, I guess. I don't know what it did, but anyway, I'm excited. I am. I'm excited because I've been waiting for something, and it snuck up on me without me realizing what was going on. I'm not through, but I'll pass it on for a little bit.
I don't know if this fits exactly, but I'll bring it anyway. By the way, happy birthday, Keith.
Thank you.
I was looking at you and thinking, he gets around pretty well for an 81-year-old. Anyway. Before I bring what I have to bring, Let me pray that there would be the finger of God would be here to cast out demons. Oh yes, Lord, that we would have Your finger manifested in this place, O Lord. Oh, that we would have access to that finger, O Lord. Oh, that we would have discernment as to how that finger should be used, O Lord. Oh, that we might have Your finger, Lord. Oh, Your finger, O Lord. Oh, by Your Spirit, You do that good work, O Lord. Your word says that we were to set the captives free, O Lord. And that is a fine, fine thing, to have the captives set free. So, Lord, we ask, O Jesus, that there would be just a mighty emancipation, whatever, of Your children, O Lord, and that we would have deliverance in our midst. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I was hearing in the Bible at home the story of the two thieves there on the cross with Jesus, and it kind of grabbed me. Something flipped on for me on that, and I want to share it. I'll read. This is the Luke's account, and it is in chapter 23. I'll start in verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which was hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, the scriptures caused a lot of speculation or whatever over the years. You don't have to live a righteous life. He just there at the very end, and Jesus. People have been kind of puzzled over that portion of Scripture. It wasn't anything more than the man had to do. He just had to... Jesus said he was going to be with him in paradise. And it occurred to me that the reason for that was that he had understanding. He understood the whole deal that thief did. He understood what Jesus' mission was. He just understood. He had light. And Jesus said he came to those who were of the truth. And there was something about this thief, bad things that he did that caused him to be up there on the cross with Jesus. There was something about this thief that had truth. He had light, whatever. And that was all that he needed. That was all he needed. He was going to spend eternity with Jesus in paradise. Now, you know, to have truth means something. It means that you have a heart that is open to it. It means that you're not so twisted in your thinking to justify yourself. You know, and in a sense, this man had a repentant heart. You know, there was repentance in him. But he had light, he had truth, and that was enough. That was enough.
Along the same line of where I was at, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then the next verse is one that we're familiar with. It says, casting down images, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, the thing that goes along with this is a scripture in Ephesians 6:12, where it says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, evil spirits in high places. I mean, that's just my wording of it. But it's like in the book of Gabriel, I think it was Gabriel, or Michael. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and he didn't get any help. And finally, the angel came. And told him, he said, since you began to pray, since your heart was intent on knowing the truth, he says, I don't know how it's worded, but something like that. He said, your prayers were heard. But he said he was resisted by the prince of Persia. Well, the prince of Persia was not a person, it was a demon. And he was held back for 21 days. And so it shows us the principalities and powers that are out there that are fighting against us. Michael was coming to help him, but these evil spirits were holding him back until he defeated them. See, that's a warfare that we don't even reckon. We don't even know what's going on out there somewhere. And so we wrestle not with flesh and blood. The premier of North Korea, as wild and woolly as he is, there's a demon involved. There's a spirit force. Because that's where they go. That's why he's as wild and woolly, and that's why he's determined to destroy America and whoever else he can. We think, why does he do it? And you know what the thing is? I'm kind of jumping around, but the Bible says that there's going to come a thousand years of peace, whatever. And during that time, the devil is going to be bound, and it'll be peaceful. There will be no demons fighting against, you know, through people, against people. And so, but right now, we're in a warfare. And The evidence that God's kingdom has come is when there is a warfare going on against the devil.
Quick note on some of the deliverance we went through. I remember a lot of the times when we were praying back then, and like we did last Sunday, or Sunday before, was it? For Caden? That for some reason the Spirit would say, have us encourage the people to come against the Spirit. You know? And that usually always took some of the power away. And you know, in a lot of those, I used to think about that. Like the guy that went in the Gadarenes there that was, you know, running wild and chained and everything. And people would say, well, believers can't have spirits. But what made him make himself come to Jesus? See, he had heard that there was this man that could possibly deliver him from his torment. So he had made a decision somewhere in there, you know. And they got him into the presence of Jesus, and then, you know. So I'm still really affected by reading that paper. So that's where I've been the last week or so. And I thought, that's pretty incredible that this person had this insight from 95 or on, you know, before we ever started listening. And I this morning I was being careful because just because maybe I had the same thoughts that God gave, not me, you know, insights, I thought, well, does that automatically mean it's from God? You know, you gotta be really open. But I'm about 95% sure it was from God. Just some of the, I guess I won't get into a lot of it, but what happened was I was so affected, and it was like my first impulse was, oh man, just go. And then this piece came and said, no, just let it develop. Don't go nuts. You know, don't think you got it. It's here we go, you know, because he's, I mean, the thing about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ and becoming one, and then us becoming one, I mean, that totally fits for a last day church to be perfected. And I mean, in my eyes and probably in yours, we can't see how that could possibly be. But with God, all things are possible. And some things just settled and resonated with what God's been giving us, you know. And so, sitting here this morning now, I'm just going to say and this is just, could be my weakness or whatever. I'm not ready to just go and say, this is the one we got to do first. See, I was sitting there and I'm going, now, from what I captured from that paper and what we've been hearing, you know, getting the fullness of God and everything, well, maybe I'm not going to get that unless I have some deliverance. You know? So, the door is open, you know? But I want to be careful that, because, I mean, I realize in the quote there in Mark where it's, and it lists it first. Well, something usually gets listed first, you know. And the only reason I'm saying that is just that, you know, I want to be careful. Maybe, it's, like I say, that might be me and my weakness. That I don't just, without being totally open to the Lord for what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, with who He wants to do it. And because a lot of times, the biggest sign Jesus gave was in the synagogue when He healed somebody. You know, which is a weakening of the darkness also. And then a lot of those that were sick, well, they were sick because of demons. You know, so, I mean, it's obvious that deliverance is a major part. I mean, it's got to be. It's when, and it says that's one of the signs is that the kingdom of God is upon you, it says. So, I was just wondering, and I always do this just because I think we should double check each other. I will look down while I'm browsing through the Bible and looking for maybe there's another place where something else is shown, you know, also as the kingdom of God coming. And if it's not, then that's, we better go with the fact that deliverance is the one that's, you know, a sign. So, you know, I'm just, I guess, trying to be skeptical in the spirit, you know, not with my humanness, hopefully, but that part about, I was really affected by what I was reading because there were so many things that, even though this, he saw some of this back in 95, obviously it's appeared to me it's something that's evolved. Because I've heard from myself saying it, not that I didn't come up with it, or with Keith or Charlie or Corky and Susan and Gene and Pablo, you know, things that were being brought since then to us who didn't know that at the time what he had. So that's kind of a confirmation, you know. Now, the one thing that probably is not really mentioned in any of that booklet is truth. I mean, the whole substance of how you get to that place, God dwelling in man, is having truth. You know, and so if nothing else, that is the major revelation that came after whatever he had that's been given. And I'm sure it's not just to us, obviously. You know, because what we were seeing, and we just didn't have some of those things that I think he really pointed out. But we have gotten because for a love of the truth, you know. And it's bringing those. I mean, after I looked at that and what we've been getting, you can bring the two together, and it's an awesome, awesome picture. I mean, of the church that should be. You know, and when you, I was just coming on the way here. I heard that quote by Jesus to the disciples when he came into the room, and he said, "A spirit doesn't have flesh and blood." And see, that spirit of, that God is a spirit is so vital. And when he was explaining, you know, and when you meld with the spirit of God, with your spirit, you start gaining the fullness of God. Now, what can hold you back? Demons, you know? So deliverance is needed, illness, I mean, anything that's a sign, you know, is pointing to the power of God and that the church can have it, you know, and we can minister it. So it,
that and it, his picture of humanity, and when you that's why then all of a sudden that statement that Jesus said, you know, it's the indwelling of God in me, and now I've come back to you after the resurrection, and you still see me. You're not seeing a God necessarily. You're seeing me, who was full of the Spirit of God. You know? And, I mean, all of a sudden I thought, well, yeah, we can get there, I guess. You know? And, you know, he brought an interesting point. He said when Jesus was filled with the Spirit and submitted totally to the will of God, it was like God revealed everything to him. Because they were one. And all of a sudden, Jesus knew that he was in the mind of God before creation. So he could say things. You know? That part of God is a hard one to understand. How can he know everything, still let you do what you're doing, and know it before it happened? And, you know, and but since I've been listening to this Word of God and finding out how awesome this God is, it's easier to accept those things. That, yeah, way before he created everything, he knew everything about what he was going to create and how it was going to end. You know? But I had that thought. I thought, okay, then I should be a puppet. But you know what my thought has been lately? How do I get to there? See, that's not a puppet.
Oh, that's right.
But in the end, I might know I'll get there, but still right now I'm going, how do I get there? What's holding me back? See, that's the difference. That's why it's, even though God knows, you don't. And you need to know that you want to get there, because that's how you start get melting with God. You know, that's how why he wants to love you and show himself through you. Because you have a desire to know him and know his son, Jesus Christ, who is the door. And if you don't know him, you don't get the Father. You don't get this awesome God. You know, it's... And he is our example. Now, we may get to that perfection differently than he did because we didn't start like he did, you know? But in God's eyes, you're getting there, and he wants you perfect just like him. Because he wants you to marry him and be in his temple, you know? The temple of God. That's the only light that shines is God. His awesomeness and everything, and Jesus Christ is the lamp, letting it come forth, you know. And it's so. I got very humbled, and yet at the same time, you know. And I know I'm repeating a lot about me, but it because I think it's people need to know that you're not walking perfect now, you know. You're not this awesome, perfected church yet. But the thing is, getting that, and then still going doing stupid things last week, maybe, you know, but that's not the point in a sense. Trials, tribulations, sufferings, and a lot of that is temptations and giving into them, you know? And it's probably something that's just... Each one of us, in a different way, will go through these things to get us to the place where, you know, I can feel my desires. I just want to finally die to myself, but I can't yet, you know? But the desire's there, and that's of God, you know? So, it's kind of like, that's why you can't go judging anybody. You know, because I could certainly be truly judged. And I, like I said, I do a lot of it myself, you know. But I could be by anyone that's a supposed Christian. And I'd have to admit to them, yeah, you're exactly right. But there's something in here that knows something that God gave that, you know, says I'm going on. You know, I don't know how many times over the last 4, 5, 6 years, I kind of feel
Maybe it's stupid, and maybe it's vanity, who knows? I don't know if I should have that. Well, I just feel like, yeah, I think I'm going to die for the gospel. You know? At some point. And it's a great thing, in a way. I mean, it wouldn't bother me a bit if that's where I'm at. Truly, you know. Now, I don't want to falsely die for the gospel, you know. I don't want to prematurely go out there and start shooting my mouth off and get done in, you know. I want to be it because I'm in the will of God, and that's His will, you know. But, so, it's a good thing that it's in the back of my spiritual mind that's what I got to get to, you know. When I'm doing all these other things that seem ridiculous if I'm supposed to be who I am, you know. So, it's funny how there was a time when I'd have been just blasting, shooting my mouth, you know, about the gospel, you know. But it's like, I can't do that. There's just a reservedness there it's because it would be premature and cause more damage than what God wants. And so it's a humbling thing to have to sit there and keep waiting. But now I can see more and more that why it's not happening in me yet, because there's some work's got to be done, you know. And so that doesn't mean if some, like, Keith or anybody else, you could be three stages ahead in that and go out and doing those things. And it's great, because that's where God has that person, you know. So I want to be careful that just because something said that I don't just try to jump on the bandwagon falsely. You know, if you know what I'm saying? I want to be there for real, you know. And if I'm not there at that point, then I just got to be patient and long-suffering and humble. You know, so, and if everything He wants me to do is safe for to do in one day or one act, fine. You know, if it's all, my whole life would get to one, and maybe it'd only be, like I say, 1 hour of ministry, but it's what He wanted, well, then that's worth it. You know, then you've completed what He wanted for you or whatever. So, this Word of God, none of those areas were ever open to scrutiny before. That's what the Word does. It's cleansing, you know. It's starting to put things in order. And, you know, and we got a long ways to go, of course, but I am really encouraged. I mean, and it's funny, when we were praying for Caden, and yeah, all of a sudden at the end, it was just like he said, he came back, you know. And then, and we said, and he probably said it voluntarily maybe before, because you get mixed up in these things, you don't remember. I remember a couple of times people saying, you know, Caden, come again, tell that spirit to leave. And he was still in a manifestation, and like whatever time it was later, all of a sudden he was saying it, you know. So, but it's like I think on the way home, I kind of went home and on the whatever, and I was almost weeping, and I have no idea why. Maybe it was just seeing God moving to help a child, you know. I don't know, but there was some kind of an effect that I couldn't put a answer to why it was happening. But so I do. Which was an answer to prayer. I'm not going to say I should have never prayed for help in that area, but yeah, I was very cold, somewhat emotionally, to things in life, and found out some of it was the conditioning from, you know, being in the Marines and going to Vietnam, and you build up these things that don't let you react emotionally, or you'd be a basket case. And so I've told this story, but I prayed that. And it was crazy because it was over a dog that God used it. Well, first my wife made a comment that, you know, I think someone had passed or something, and I just, she said, how come you don't have any reaction or feeling? And I said, what? Well, then I said, and that, for some reason, God took that and stuck it in there and said, yeah, how come, Ken? And I said, I think you better show me. And so I prayed that I would, you know, get some emotion, that I wouldn't be this cold, you know, that affect whatever happened in Vietnam and all that would be taken away. And when he took it away, it's like, yeah, I'm a basket case now over all kinds of things. Stupid TV shows, you know. But you, it's like all of a sudden you identify with every situation the person's in. And so I have to fight it sometimes because it's ridiculous. But that was the answer to prayer, that he took that down, you know. I'm sure there's still little shades of it there, but for the most part, it got defeated. So I didn't mean to take so long, but God bless.
It's interesting how things impact each of us differently over the week. I, too, started reading the thing that we kind of came in contact with, the indwelling, and it was a good read. A lot of good insight there. It was different because it kind of legalistically explained a lot of things and da-da-da-da, and there was a lot of emphasis on deity and non-deity, and, you know, and went back and let's talk about the 15 different ways in the Greek we talk about God and all the, you know, and I thought, okay. And I kind of like, yeah, it's all good, but I don't think that I'm going to get tested on that and I stand in front of them. However, you know, in light of what's been said today, you know, there's a couple things that we say but we don't do, and you kind of wonder, like, so, you know, Jesus says, repent and sin no more. So why aren't you doing that? It's pretty simple. He told you, repent and sin no more. Pretty plain, not a lot of wondering. Don't have to go back to the Greek to figure what that is. Repent and sin no more. None of us do that. Well, Keith goes, well, you got a demon? Because that's the only reason I can think of if I know I should repent and not do this, but I can't. Probably have a demon. Probably have someone helping me not sin no more, especially when I know exactly what it is I'm not supposed to be doing. So it's pretty simple for me. I'm not there yet. How come it is we know in our heart we want what we want to do, and then we don't do that? If you know this is what you want, and you fervently want it, and you don't do that, well, why is that? You're either schizophrenic, or the enemy is working in your life, and that's how you can see that. I saw this thing that Keith handed out, and I said, this is great. I got the instruction manual for the fullness of God that dwell within me. And I'm firing through it, and I went, you know, I mean, I really went after it. I said, okay. And I got all the way done, and I go, oh, wait. I kind of missed it, so I kind of went back, and I started looking. I said, I didn't see anything truly new here. If I have God's will, God will dwell in me. God dwells in me because my heart is right. My heart is right because I'm looking for truth. I'm looking for truth because I'm in the Word trying to understand what it is that God is looking for me to be, to do. And, you know, on one hand, it was really, really good. On the other hand, it was like, I kind of know this. I'm just not walking this I'm just not living this. So I can repent. I need to repent. And then when I just can't not sin in this area, then I probably have a demon. God, for some reason, isn't setting me free in that area just yet. But I know if it's my will to be free in that area, He will do that. The other part of that revelation is, and I'm going to put this in natural syntax so you get it, when He's good and ready. Not when you want. When He's good and ready, He will do that. There was a phrase Keith said, so how are you going to do this? And I'm back there going, you ain't doing it. And Keith is saying, well, how are you going to, this is what we're going to do. And I go, you ain't doing that. God's doing it. You're just making yourself willing and available. You know, I fight this all the time. So I wasn't disagreeing with Keith, but I was reminding me that, no. I can be willing. You know, it's like my old thing. Like, I'm going to come to church today and pray and get in the Spirit. And I tell all my friends, no, I'm not. I'm going to come to church and pray and make myself open to God's Spirit coming upon me. And that's as far apart as East and the West. And it's important because that takes me out of this and elevates Him into this. And I keep trying to find ways to say, God is what I want, not what I want. Revelation of who He is and who I am. And trying to live that. I found this paper really touched on several revelations that have come into the body in a good way. He had a different way, but talked about the image of God. You know, Pablo first shared that, and we talked upon that, and it was really good. And I think I shared with Charlie during the week, and Brother Ken touched on it just a minute ago, but one of the things that we've kind of all been dancing around for a few years is, you know, this pre-existence of Jesus knowledge, you know, some of the phrasings like make man in our image. And there was just a couple things that kind of implied plurality. And we were like, you know, exactly, you know, what's going on? And what was proposed, and I'm noodling on it, was if you have the fullness of God dwelling within you, I mean, you have God's full knowledge, so you totally understand the plan, well, then you know. It wasn't that Jesus knew beforehand. It's once He had the fullness of God, then He knew. I don't know if I'm 100% on board, but like Ken said, that explains a lot of things. And if it's 95%, then I'm going to wait for God to fill in, you know, the corners there. But that, it at least passes the first test. You know, from what I know. But, you know, you come to church and you folks you share your hearts and you explain what God's doing in your life, and I'm uplifted and encouraged because I know I'm supposed to repent and sin no more. And I know that's over there. And I know I'm back here. And the thing, the race that we're running is, how do I get from here to where I want to be? And I mean, if I truly want to be that, I have to have faith that God will do that. And I just remind me, when He's good and ready, not when I really want it. That gets back to me on my patience thing and understanding God's timing. But it's interesting, you know, Keith is up and he was fired up and he says, you know, deliverance, and I'm going, okay, didn't feel like new manna to me. But then, And we just kept sitting on that. And I got, you know, we kind of know things, and then we forget things, and then we rediscover things, and they seem new. And if you're not careful, you go, oh, wait, isn't this what we were going around the mountain over here on? And now we're coming back to it. What's different? The difference is when you come upon a truth, and the truth is based upon the Word, and the Word is dwelling in your heart, it's got a whole different meaning the second time you trip over that.
Yeah, that's good.
It's got, because now God is taking you from here, but now you're able to work over here. And if you can work a little bit higher up, you can get your will a little bit closer to His will in spite of yourself. And we are fighting flesh and natural-minded things. You know, there's just scriptures that are really hard. You know, Jesus walking around like, I don't worry about food. Don't eat it. You can look at me and you can determine that that's not how I think. I think about food. Or I'm going to sleep, and if I'm going to be cold. I just haven't been able to totally separate the world from my thinking yet. But the cool part, or the exciting part, the part that really gets me going is I know that all I have to do is be willing. And God will do that. And if you can be happy, comfortable in that, then you too can start to have the willing of God in a greater fullness. And I've come to realize it's basically all that I need is God in my life.
Says, when you're sitting there, something's revealed to them. They say, let him speak, which shows me that if you come to church, you know, unprepared, you could get something that you can share of while you're together. You don't have to be. You can be. I mean, I would encourage you to be prepared or whatever. But if there's nothing, the Spirit will talk while you're gathering. Anytime anybody, if Jesus was here, let's say in the flesh, or if we were 2,000 years ago with Jesus, my suggestion would be like, don't ask him anything. Because if you think, anytime anybody asks anything to them, it was basically, you gotta stop doing what you're doing, and you gotta go the other way. He will say, you gotta change what you're doing. And I'm obviously not being serious about not asking him nothing, because you know you wanna know what you're doing wrong. But anytime Jesus was asked something, he was like, whatever you're doing, you gotta change, you gotta repent, you gotta do this, you gotta sell everything. And anyways, So what I'm going to is, you know, last couple of weeks ago, I went through this a leg thing I had in me, and I really didn't know where was the end of it. Because if you have a cold, you know, it could be a couple of weeks or whatever. If you have a scar, you know, it'll heal, or if you have some other illness, you know the end of it. You know, it'll be. But with my leg thing, I had this thing in my leg. I really didn't know if it was permanent or for how long, and I didn't know what to do. And, you know, I prayed, and Candy prayed, and at night, it was horrible, horrible pain. I don't know if it was the worst pain I've ever had, but it was really bad. Really, really bad. And And I was tested. I was using some pain medication, but I did not want to go to the doctor because, you know, before I got my leg pain, my thinking was, if you have something wrong with you, you gotta pray. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you, and you pray, and God will take care of you. And if I would have submitted myself to the doctors, I was thinking, how would I ever tell anybody or pray for anybody when I can't even believe that for myself? And I'm not saying you shouldn't go to a doctor at all, but I personally, at least, I wanted God to take care of me. I was stubborn. I wanted God to do it. I did not want man to do it. I did not want to submit to the doctors. I did not want to. I was thinking, how will I ever lay hands on anybody? If I can't even believe that God can take care of me, how can I believe that God will take care of somebody else? And I prayed every prayer I had, and in any way, and I asked her from A to B, A to Z, Z to A. She prayed, and Candy prayed. I was so close to giving up. So close. And, you know, in parentheses, what I went through is really a grain of sand in comparison to where other people are going. But at the same time, when you're going through it, it feels that the world is coming to an end. To you, at least. So I was thankful that I wasn't going through what other people were going. But and it was hard to be thankful. But you know, we kept praying and praying, and you know, and concentrating whatsoever is lovely and whatsoever is truth and whatsoever is holy and whatever pure. And I mean, I couldn't sit, or I couldn't get up. I couldn't do anything without pain in my leg. If I sit, it would hurt. If I sit, and the pain would accumulate. I didn't know. I didn't know nothing. But I'm 100% healed of my leg and everything. I have like nothing. And now that I'm recovered. I'm going to use that word. Now that I'm recovered, you forget about it and you forget to give thanks every time I sit, every time I get up, every time I get on my knees, and every time I tie my shoe. But when I remember, I do thank God. And, you know, it was a spirit. It was a spirit doing its thing. But just like I shared a couple of weeks ago, you know, a spirit went into Peter, into Judas, so he could betray Jesus. That was a work of the devil. But however, God used that work of the devil to make Jesus raised from the dead. So all these works of the devil, and you know what, it's so easy to say what I'm saying right now because I'm not in pain. But if you would ask me that a week ago or so, I don't know. But all those works of the devil, there's a raise from the dead from it. No exception, I would say. And, anyways, I'm going to read. I'm going to read at the end of the first book of Peter. And we all know the scripture probably by heart. But it really helped. You know, also I got to say, I'm going to say that later. You know, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Oh my God. Casting all your care upon him. how, when you are in agony, is it, you really, I did not want to, I don't know. It's a lot easier to read it now and believe in it and everything else. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. You know, I believe that I resist him. You know, I did continue in my prayer, in my agony, you know, which is really this tiny bit of agony compared with other people, but I felt it was huge. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that this... See, this is so important. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So whatever I was going through, or whatever you go through of issues, whatever your issues are, people that are not Christians have them too, the same ones, whatever they are. You like the color of red too much. It's you do, and the world does. Everybody does. But we are different. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while. So, we, because we are Christians, we take this a different way. So, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So, after all these things, all of a sudden, you are the Jesus raising from the dead. After all these things that the devil through Judas did, and Jesus wrote, then all these things that the devil did to make you suffer, you have suffered for a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that's what I felt. I did. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, I got a lot more perfecting in me to do, and I got a lot more work. There's a lot of work left in me. And my prayer is, if this cup could pass away from me, if there could be any other way of me being perfected than by suffering, I would really like that. That would be like, Jesus had to do it, and we have to do it, and I know there's plenty of work, plenty of work for me to do. And one of the things that I felt through this week or whatever, I've been listening to the scriptures for 20 years, 17 years, or I don't know how many years. But, you know, as I'm saying that, you know, God is probably listening to you, and what is 17 years of listening to the scriptures? I feel like I'm starting again. I'm not saying it has been in vain, everything I've heard or learned, but I honestly feel that I'm starting again. I feel like a newborn again Christian, but I feel like I'm in step zero again, or not that I'm there, but maybe at least that I should be. All the scriptures that I'm taking in, I'm doing it as if it's the first time ever. My faith needs to be strengthened. A lot of things, but even though, but knowing that I have to start from zero, that's also a step ahead in a way. That's accomplishing also, you know, knowing that you start again. Yeah. this word, the word of God. You know, when Lazarus, you know, he's in hell with Abraham, he says, "Send him to my household, so they can see somebody raised from the dead. They'll believe in him, and they will, you know, repent or whatever." And Abraham says, if they don't believe Moses, if they're not persuaded by Moses, but basically saying if they don't believe Moses, they won't even be persuaded or believe anything by being raised from the dead. So taking this word is what will give you faith. It will really not, seeing the dead raised, will even though it's like a faith builder, but not really, because your belief should come only from God's word. And not only it should come, but that's the only place it comes from. And imagine you see somebody raised from the, or any miracle, let's say, you see it. Well, you have to be persuaded by Moses, by God's word. Moses says, when Jesus comes here, him, you have to be persuaded by God's word. Imagine we take, see the miracle, and then we go to somebody else. Hey, you know, I saw a miracle. Believe in God. It's like, well, if it's not going to do me any good to see that miracle, imagine the person that is hearing from the other person that they saw a miracle. You know, I'm not saying let's forget about miracles, but I'm saying the approach is hey, God's word. Hey, take God's word in. Take God's word in. And be persuaded by God's word. You know, be persuaded by God's word. And please don't misunderstand me that I want miracles. I want to see miracles. I want to receive miracles. So I don't want to be in pain. But, you know, God's word is where the persuasion needs to come from.
There's a scripture in Proverbs somewhere, and I'm not sure where it's at, but it says to the effect that the eyes never get full by seeing, and the ears never get full by hearing. And the phone rings at strange times. But anyway, it's kind of like the story of Lazarus and Abraham. And what happened, well, it did with Jesus, but through like William Branham had a healing ministry. People followed him wherever he went. I mean, they saw and they saw and they saw and they saw. And so, you know what happened? They wanted to see some more. Because that's human nature. I want to see another miracle. I want to see another miracle. Let me see another miracle. I want to see another miracle. You know what I mean? That's human nature. But there's something about the word. It's different. The word comes in. You're not approaching it the same way. That's why he said if they would have believed Moses, they wouldn't have to see somebody raised from the dead. But they didn't believe him. And it's the same thing. We hear the voice of Jesus. And Jesus said, and that somebody quoted that this morning, he said that those that are of the truth hear my word. Hear my voice. Those that are of the truth hear my voice. And it's like, that's kind of, sounds backwards, but it's not. I want to clear something up. even though in Mark where it says that they that believe shall cast out devils, even though casting out devils is first. I'm not meaning to suggest that that is the sole thing, or even the number one evidence. But the thing that is important in Luke 11:20, where Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, then it is evident the kingdom of God has come upon you. And the reason, and that's what I was meaning to say, if the kingdom of God comes upon us, deliverance is going to happen because we're going to have a real kingdom warfare. Because it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Meaning what? God is going to get involved. It's going to be spiritual warfare. It's going to be God doing the battle instead of us doing it by our own ignorance. Do you follow me? So, That's why if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it is obvious, evident, the kingdom of God has come. Because God is the one that is doing it. And that was the point I was making. That's what we're starting to see. See, when I got saved, you know, 50 years ago, all I wanted to do was read this. I didn't have a CD player. I didn't even have any way to listen to it all the time, like we do now. I read this day and night, almost every waking moment for a couple of years, just read it and read it and read it and cried and laughed and cried. But the Word was having this effect on me. And then when deliverance started in 82, if you remember the background for that, besides this, we had a prayer meeting in this church every night for a year and a half. I was here 7 nights a week. I don't know how, but I was. I was here day after day after day. The next thing we knew, the kingdom, we were approaching something. And deliverance broke up. And so here we are now again. God is putting this Word in us, and we're getting hungry for it. I love it. I love this. All I want to do is listen to it. All I want to do is read it. You know what's happening to me? The kingdom is developing. They said, Lord, show us the kingdom. He says, the kingdom is within you. You can't see it, but it develops. How does it develop? You know what this is called? The word of the kingdom. Anyway. Let's come up to the front.